Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Hei, and we will begin on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. There are many different types of materials. Some materials are materials that are connected, some materials are not connected to the ground. Even in materials that are connected to the ground, there are different types of materials. There are trees, there are mountains. And says the Mishnah, Nochrim Oidim Saharim Esagvoyz, Akum the worship mountains and hills, Hei Mutarim, the mountains and hills remain Mutar and Hano, or Mashalayim, however, what's on the mountains, the silver and gold, are Asur. Shinemar, Lysachma Kesvazov Aleim, the mountains are never going to become Avodah Zarah. Machloikus Rishonim, that what will be the halacha if somebody brings an animal as a carbon to such a mountain? Will the animal have a din of takruvus avodah zarah or not? Rashi is of the opinion that it does not have a din of takruvus avodah zarah, whereas Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that it has a din of takruvus avodah zarah. Even Rabbeinu Tam, that says it has a din of takruvus avodah zarah, points out that's only if it was brought as an Avodah Zarah right next to the mountain. But if it wasn't brought as an Avodah Zarah right next to the mountain, it will not have the din of Takrovis Avodah Zarah. Rashi says, as we said, that it does not have the din of Takrovis Avodah Zarah. However, the difficulty in understanding Rashi's pshat is that as it will become clear in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir, that if somebody does worship this mountain, the Gemara says that it's chayv misa favodah zarah. And if we're saying that it doesn't have a din of, if Rashi says it doesn't have a din of takrevis avodah zarah, why is it chayv misa? So I saw a number of explanations. Rashi himself seems to try to differentiate between if somebody brings the carbon to the mountain itself, versus somebody who brings the carbon to a malach who is in charge of the mountain. And only if you bring the carbon to the mountain itself does not have a din of avodah zarah, but if you bring it to the malach, that's what the Gemara will say, there'll be a chiv misa. A difficult distinction. Other Rishonim explain that the chiv misa for being over avodah zarah is not to whom or to what you worship, but the basic fact that you worshipped Avodah Zarah brings with it a Chiyuv Misa. Others explain, all very much along the same line, that worshipping Avodah Zarah is something that particularly angers Hashem, and therefore, even if the object that was worshipped is not designated as an Avodah Zarah, it doesn't change the reality that he's considered an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Similar pshat is that the chiyuv misa for being an oved avodah zarah is the fact that somebody was a koifer be'ikar, and being a koifer be'ikar brings a chiyuv misa when it's followed with an act. Rabbi Yosef Glili, Aimer, and as will become clear in the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Glili at first glance is not disagreeing with the Tanakama. Rabbi Yosef Glili, Aimer, Aleihem Alaharim, V'Aleiharim Aleihem. The mountains can never be considered an Avodah Zarah, because something that's connected to the ground is not considered Avodah Zarah. Asks Rabbi Yosef Glili himself, the Torah, many times in using as what is an example of Avodah Zarah, is the Asherah. Asks Rabbi Yosef Glili, if we're saying that something connected to the ground is not an Avodah Zarah, Sif Sov Neima Asherah Surah, why does the Torah always say that the Asherah can become an Avodah Zarah? Answers the Mishnah, Mnei Sheyesh Bo Tfisas Yidei Adam. V'kol Sheyesh Bo Tfisas Yidei Adam Asur. Where most Rishonim explain Tfisas Yidei Adam is that a mountain, unlike a tree unlike a mountain is formed by itself. It's there Mishesh Shimei Abrashis. A tree is planted, and therefore, even though a tree is connected to the ground, because it's planted, it does not have the din of Avodah Zarah. However, the Maral, the Sefer Gur Aryeh, has a different explanation of what Tfis Yedei Adam. He explains Tfis Yedei Adam means that even though, of course, a mountain and a tree are both connected to the ground, a mountain is connected to the ground, but it's not the ground itself. Whereas a mountain, a hill, is ground which is elevated. And therefore they have a very different rules. Mountains cannot become Avodah Zarah, trees can become Avodah Zarah. Amar Bekiva. Bekiva comes to continue and expound on what Rabbi Yosef Aglili says. And even though, as the Rishonim point out, Rabbi Kiva was Rabbi Yosef Aglili's Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Aglili was a Talmud Chover to Rabbi Kiva, and since he was a Talmud Chover to Rabbi Kiva felt that he should explain what he says, and on the oven v'odnul fenech, I will come to explain what he just said. Kamakum shatamaitzu, wherever you find, ha'gvoyiv given the saw, a high mountain, a raised hill, ve'itzronen, or a tree, da, you should know that there is Shom Avodah Zarah, that there is Avodah Zarah there. I saw the Mefarshim explain the Kamakim, wherever you find arrogance, however give a mountain or a hill, a tall tree, all representing Gaiva, where there is Gaiva, there is Avodah Zarah. Gaiva and Avodah Zarah travel together. But Taisus and Rishonim ask the obvious question: if we're establishing that wherever there is a mountain in Eretz Yisrael, there was Avodah Zarah over there, so how could the Beis HaMikdash been built on Har Maria? Is it appropriate that the Beis HaMikdash should be built on a place where there is Avodah Zarah? So Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says it was Api Novi, and is a machloikis how to understand what does it mean what does it mean that it was built, that it was that it was designated Api Novi? Some of Farshim explained that what the Yerushalmi means, that any place that was designated Api Novi to be the place that was designated Api Novi to be the Makom HaMikdash, even if it was indeed there was Avodah Zarah there, doesn't make a difference. The Novi has a right to designate that place as the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where the Beis HaMikdash should be. That's one explanation. Others explain that what Yerushalmi means, that since it was known that that spot would be the place where the Beis HaMikdash was built, they always watched that place, that even though all other mountains, as we're learning, there were Avodah Zarah on those mountains, they always watched those places, there should be no Avodah Zarah placed on those places. And in fact, I saw a beautiful vort along these lines. In the Hoshanas that we say in Sukkot, one of the Hoshanas we say is Hoshana Goyren Arnon. Arnon, we know, was the Akum on whose property the Beis HaMikdash was built. Originally it was a Goyren, it was a threshing place, it was a warehouse. David HaMelech purchased that place to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, when we daven on Hoshana, when we daven and we say Hoshanas, and we ask Hashem for Yeshua, why do we mention this Akum Goyren Arnon? What is so great that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us in His merit? But according to the explanation that we just gave, it could be very well explained. Arnon was the Akum who had this mountain in his property, and he was careful to watch that this property should always remain free of Avodah Zarah. So Hoshana, so daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tzchus of Arnon, who was careful to watch that this place should never be used for Avodah Zarah, Hoshana HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us. But I saw other answers to this question. The Meshech Chachma seems to explain that this minig of the Akum, this custom of the Akum, that they designated all mountains to be places where they kept Avodah Zarah, only began after Avraham Avinu did the Akedah with Yitzchak on the Har Maria. That's when they started designating mountains as a place for Avodah Zarah. And given that the Har Maria was designated as a Makom Kadosh prior to the designation of Avodah Zarah, along the lines of a concept that we discussed in the previous year, that the Avodah Zarah bar begvuli, it was already first Makom Kadosh before the Avodah Zarah came there, and therefore cannot be designated as a Makom Avodah Zarah. The Chasam Sofer says another pshat. He quotes a fascinating Medrash Tanchuma. He says, the Pasuk says, when Avraham Avinu was traveling towards Har Moriah to do the Akedah, the Pasuk says the words, Vayar es hamakoyim mirochoik. Says the Medrash Tanchuma, originally that place was really just a valley. And Avraham Avinu, when he saw there was a valley, said to Hashem, is it appropriate that such a great act, the act of the Akedah, should take place in a valley? Wouldn't it be more appropriate that it should take place on a mountain? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and turned that place, which was originally a valley, into a mountain. And that's why this place wasn't really a mountain. And indeed, even though our Mishnah is saying that all places that were mountains, there were Avodah Zarah by, this wasn't a mountain, it was really a valley. That flaw, interestingly, says that that was the same place where Yaakov Avinu slept and had his dream, the dream of the Sulam. And the Pasuk says, the Ochem Yesh Elokim B'Mokim Hazeh, says the flaw that the gematria of the words B'Mokim Hazeh is Har, to teach us that this Mokim Hazeh really originally was not a Har. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately changed it into a Har, changed it into a mountain. So as we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Glila Hana Tanakama, isn't the opinion of Yosef Glila and the Tanakama the same? They both are saying the mountains cannot be Avodah Zarah. What is their machlokes? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rami Bachama, Rish Lakish, Sipa Har Kahar Ika Benayu. The machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef Glila is if the mountain has a covering on it, will that covering have the designation of Avodah Zarah? The Tanakhama is of the opinion that Sipur Har Ein Kahar, that the mountain itself does not have the designation of, that the covering on the mountain does not have the designation of the mountain. And even though the mountain itself, as we've been learning, does not become Avodah Zarah, the Sipur Har can become Avodah Zarah. Umitzar, and we'll have the dinner of Avodah Zarah. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Glili Sover, Sipa Har Areyu Kahar, the covering on the mountain has the same din as the mountain. And just like the mountain, as we've been learning, does not become Avodah Zarah, so too is the halacha on the Tzipui Ahar. There's a machlokes Rishonim as to how to understand this machlokes between Rabbi Yosef Glili and the Tanakhama. Rashi and other Rishonim seem to learn that the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef Glili is that does the Tzipui Ahar obtain the designation of Noi Avodah Zarah? The Noi Avodah Zarah we know has the din of Avodah Zarah. Does this obtain the designation of Noi Avodah Zarah? Where Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that it does not, and Tanakhama holds it does. According to this explanation, even if one didn't worship the mountain, the Tzipui Ahar has its own independent designation of Noi Avodah Zarah, and one who worships that Tzipui Avodah Zarah is as if he worshipped Avodah Zarah itself. That's the opinion of Rashi. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that the Tzipui Ahar is connected to the mountain. Just as a special din, as we've been learning in the Mishnah, that a mountain can't become Avodah Zarah. So says Rabbi Yosef Glili that the Tzipui Har has the same din as the Har. And just like the Har can't become Avodah Zarah, so too the Tzipui Har can't become Avodah Zarah. Whereas the Tanakhama says the Tzipui Har is independent of the Har. There's a special din on the Har that the Har can't become Avodah Zarah. But that din doesn't apply to the Tzipui Har, and the Tzipui Har can become Avodah Zarah. What would be a nafkamina between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef Glili? A nafkamina would be as follows. We've learned, and we will continue to learn, that the halacha allows for bitl avodah zarah, for one to be able to nullify avodah zarah. So the question is, what would be if one nullified the mountain from being avodah zarah? Would that affect the Tzipui Ahar. If we say that the Tzipui Ahar is an independent place, it's an independent Noy Avoid Zora, so the Bittl on the Har has no effect on the Noy. Whereas if we say that the Tzipui Ahar is part of the Har, then the Bittl on the Har will affect not just the Har itself, but also the Tzipui. Furthermore, Tosfos and the Rishonim ask that we have a rule, we're actually going to learn this rule later in our Masechta, that whenever we have two opinions cited in a Mishnah, we assume that the second opinion is the more chomer, the more stringent opinion. Yet here we find that the second opinion, Rabbi Yosef Glili, according to this explanation, is the Mekel, and the Tanakama is the Machmer. How do we understand this? So some Rishonim explain that the only time that we have that rule, that we say that the second opinion is the more chomer opinion, is when the opinions are not clear. We don't know who is the Machmer and who is the Mekel. So we say that the second opinion is the Machmer and the first opinion is the Mekel. But in a case where the opinions are explicit, there, of course, we follow what they say. And they explain that based on the different psukim that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef Glili quote, that's the basis for their opinions regarding Tzipui Har. So it's as if they're stating their opinions explicitly, and when they're stating their opinions explicitly, we don't have the rule that the second opinion is necessarily stricter than the first opinion. Another answer I saw to this question is that since, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion is cited, and then Rabbi Kiva comes to expound on Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion, so whenever we have So since we're going to be expanding Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion, that's why it was cited second, even though it is the more lenient opinion. Rav Sheshis, however, disagrees. And Rav Sheshis Amar Kulama Tzipahar Enikahar. Everybody is in agreement that the Tzipahar is not like the mountain. And even though, as we've learned in the Mishnah, and the Halach is that the Har itself does not become Avodah Zarah, that has nothing to do with the Tzipahar. The Tzipahar can become Avodah Zarah. Yet, as we asked, so if so, what is the machloikis between Rabbi Yosef Glili and the Tanakhama? The machloikis is when they first planted the tree and then they worshipped it, what will be the designation of this tree? And in order to understand this teretz, we need to say a few words of introduction. Certainly in a situation where somebody planted a tree, l'shem avodah zarah, that tree is the asherah that we already refer to in our Mishnah, and it certainly is considered avodah zarah. Here we're referring to a situation where a tree was first planted not l'shem avodah zarah, but later on it was designated as avodah zarah. What will be its status? Furthermore, as will become clear in the Gemara, that if we have a situation that what grew prior to the tree being designated as Avodah Zarah, it's clearly not considered an Avodah Zarah. The question here is on what grew from the tree after the tree was designated as an Avodah Zarah. Will it have a din of Avodah Zarah or not? And here too we have a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand what is the case that we're referring to. Rashi, and that's the way we're going to be explaining our Gemara, says that the Gemara here is referring to a situation where somebody planted a seed for Avodah Zarah, and after he planted the seed, not l'shem Avodah Zarah, after this tree started growing, did he designate this tree as an Avodah Zarah? Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that it's referring to a situation where somebody took a sapling. He took a sapling and planted it in the ground, and after he planted the sapling in the ground, that he designated for Avodah Zarah. But according to Tosfos, if a seed was planted on the ground, it would not be considered Avodah Zarah. So again, says the Gemara is now suggesting that what is the machloikis between Rabbi Yosef Glili and the Tanakhama and our Mishnah? Where they first planted the tree, not for an Avodah Zarah, and then they decided to make it into Avodah Zarah. Tanakama Sovet, the Tanakama is of the opinion that Elon Shanotai Ulbsaif Avodai, that since when it was originally planted, it was not planted L'shem Avodah Zarah, it's Mutter. Rabbi Yosef Glili, on the other hand, is of the opinion Elon Shanotai Ulbsaif Avodai Asa. Ask the Ramamai, where do we take these, that this is Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion? Midatani Seifa, because we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Ma Asherah Surah, why is that Asherah considered Avodah Zarah? Because as the Mishnah said, since the Asherah, human intervention is evolved, a person planted it. The Kashiyesh by Tfis Adam Asuimai, the Kashiyesh by Tfis Yidei Adam Asur. The Mishnah adds this one more statement. The Kashiyesh by Tfis Yidei Adam Asur. So the question is, what's the point of the Mishnah adding this statement? The Kashiyesh by Tfis Yidei Adam Asuimai. Lav Lasuye, it's going to teach us a situation of Elon Shenotel Psoif Avodai that has a din of Avodah Zarah. Continues the Gemara. V'af Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Savar, so too is the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that Elon Shenotel Psoif Avodai is also. The Tanya, there's a brayse that says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'toch Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Eloheim Elohorim, the gods are on the mountains. But the mountains themselves cannot become Avodah Zarah. Eloheim Elohvos, the Avodah Zarah is on the hills. V'loigvoyes Eloheim, but the hill themselves do not become an Avodah Zarah. Shmeyani, I could have understood that when the Torah says, Sachas kol eitz ranan Eloheim, the Pasuk also speaks about under the trees being gods, the light eats ranan aleihem. That the same din is that only under the trees can that area become an avodah zarah. But the trees themselves do not become avodah zarah. Tamaloyma, the pasuk says, Vashreyem tisrafim the eish. The Torah says that all trees should be burnt. From where we see that even the trees, that a tree can become avodah zarah. But let's look at what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is saying that all trees makes no difference whether the tree was planted L'shem Avodah Zarah or the tree was not planted L'shem Avodah Zarah. All trees can be designated Avodah Zarah. Consistent with the way we explained Rabbi Yosef Aglili's opinion, that Rabbi Yosef Aglili says that if a tree was planted, even if it was planted not L'shem Avodah Zarah, but it was ultimately designated L'shem Avodah Zarah, it will have the din of Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that all trees, it makes no difference what the intention was when they were planted, have the din of Avodah Zarah, Ela Tachas Kol Eitz Ranan Lamali. What do we learn from the Pasuk of Tachas Kol Eitz Ranan? Answers the Gemara, Hahu Rebbe Kiva Adasa. It's coming to teach us what Rebbe Kiva taught us, the Amar Rebbe Kiva, as Rebbe Kiva taught us when we learned the Mishnah, and the oven for Adon Lefanecha, Kamakum Shat Amaitse Hagvoya V'Giva Nesav Eitzranan, wherever you find a mountain, a hill, a tree, Da Sheyesham Avetz Kechavim, that you should know that there's a Vadazar in that area. So, according to Rebbe Yosef Yehuda, and according to Rebbe Yosef Aglili, even a tree that was planted not L'shem Avodah Zarah becomes Avodah Zarah once it was worshipped. Tanakama, however, disagrees. Ask the Gemara, but according to the Rabbanon, what did he learn from that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Mibayle, they will use that pasuk to teach us, Le'ilon shenot matchila lekach. If a tree was originally planted, L'shem Avodah Zarah, as we said in our introductory remarks to this piece of Gemara, everybody agrees that if a tree was planted originally, L'shem Avodah Zarah, that is the Asherah that the Torah speaks about, and it's clearly an Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Nami Ba'alei Lahachi, doesn't he need the pasuk also to teach us that din, that if something was planted L'shem Avodah Zarah, it has a din of Avodah Zarah? Answers the Gemara, Hachanami, indeed. Asked the Gemara, El Ilan Shenata Lipsoif Avodim Menale. So if so, from where does he know this halacha that if a tree was even not planted with Shem Avodah Zarah, it was only designated after it started growing for Avodah Zarah that it has the din of Avodah Zarah? Nafkalei answers the Gemara, he learns it from the pasuk Vashreim Tegadeim. Tegadeim means to be cut. And this is very much in line with what we discussed earlier in our shir. That unlike a tree, which was planted originally with Shem Avodah Zarah, that such a tree, as we're going to learn in our Gemara, that Allah is that entire tree must be uprooted. This tree that was planted originally not L'Shem Avodah Zarah, it was only later designated L'Shem Avodah Zarah, only the extra part that was grown for Avodah Zarah needs to be cut, nothing else. Which tree is the halacha that the extra growth should be cut because it's an avodah zara? The ikra, the root is mutter. Have a aimer ilan shenata lipsayif avodai, that the original part remains mutter, the extra part is avodah zara. Ask the Gemara, five esh fantas from beish kanos le talmuda. That pasuk of ashefayim tisser from beish. That's the pasuk that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda quoted. So how are we saying that he learns his din from the pasuk of Ashreim to Gadeon, when he quoted his din, he used the words Vashreim tis from Be'esh? Answers the Gemara, the way to understand what he meant is as follows. Ilo loy nemer kama. Ilo loy nemer tis from Be'esh. Had the Torah not said Ashreim tis from Be'esh, Hayisa Omer, we would explain that the pasuk of Ashreim to Gadeim is referring, but Ilan Shenata Metchila Lekach, it's referring to a tree that was built, that was originally planted L'Shem Avodah Zarah. But now, says Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Diksiv Asher Feyin Tisrafim Be'esh. For that pasuk is teaching us the halacha of a tree that was planted originally L'Shem Avodah Zarah. Ayatale Vashreim to Gadeim. The pasuk of Ashreim the Gadeim remains superfluous to teach us the halacha of Ilan Shenata Lipsayif Avodai, that the extra part that was grown after the tree was designated for Avodah Zarah has the din of Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, however, according to the Rabbanan, who disagree, and according to the Rabbanan that hold that a tree that was not planted originally L'Shem Avodah Zarah does not have the designation of an Asherah. Rabbana Haiv Ashreim Tegadein my Avdelei. What did I use that pasuk to teach us? Answers the Gemara, they teach us for another halacha. To teach us the halacha of that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi taught us. Look, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Domer Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Gedu Avod Chavim Kaidman L'Kibbush Et Yisrael. When it comes to conquer Eretz Yisrael, the first thing they should do is cut the trees that we worship Avodah Zarah. Then Kibush Eretz Yisrael Kaidim Labi Avodah Chavim, and then conquering Eretz Yisrael should take place before they completely finish eradicating all of the Avodah Zarah. The Tanya Rabbi Yosef, as Rabbi Yosef said in the Tafkins of the Chayseim, break apart their Avodah Zarah V'hanach and leave it. Hanach means don't completely eradicate it, and then the Shabbatimus Mitzvahisam smash their Matzevus Vahanach. Ask the Gemara, Vahanach Salkadaitach? Is this the proper way to leave even some part of the Avodah Zarah in place? Says the Gemara, what it means is Omrev Huna Rudoif. First, break the objects. After you break the object, Vakach Suroif, go and capture the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and then afterwards, burn them. Why should that be done in this way? So the Rishonim explain, because Hashem wanted, that as soon as Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael, they should remove the Avodah Zarah. Because the presence of the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael could be a takola, to cause Chas V'Shalom Klai Yisrael to stumble, and Chas V'Shalom perhaps worship them, and clearly in a situation that's not tolerable, so they have to be removed. And then afterwards, after that, when they finish conquering the rest of Eretz Yisrael, then and only then should they complete the eradication. I saw a beautiful vart that the Ger Rebbe said in the Rebbe Rebunim. He said he learned something from Napoleon. Napoleon, when he would come to a place and go to war to a different a city or wherever, he would first go and capture that spot, do the best he could, and move his army further. And after he would move his army further, he would then still leave in the original place some small army to protect that the place that he already captured he shouldn't lose. And he says that's exactly what our Gemara is teaching us, that capture Eretz Yisrael, break the Avodah Zarah, but remember that you have to come back to this place to completely eradicate the Avodah Zarah. And that's what he says is the same that we have to do in Avodas Hashem, that even if somebody is able to conquer and do a mitzvah, conquer the Yetzer Hara, he has to always come back and continue working on any madrega that he achieved, not to lose that madrega. Ask the Gemara. So this concept, furthermore, explained to Rishonim, we know that the Rabbanans, we have many times that Rabbanan make gzeira, and Rabbanan make gzeira in order to avoid a takala, in order to avoid people making mistakes. Our Gemara is teaching us that even midoraisa we have this concept of a concern for takala, and that's why the Avodah Zarah had to be immediately removed when Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Haisfar Menele, where is Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who learned that from the Pasuk of Ashreim the Gadayin, the halacha that a tree that wasn't originally designated for Avodah Zarah still can become Avodah Zarah. So where would he learn this thing from? Nafkalei me'abdim ta'abdim, that it should be a two-stepped approach. Abed v'akach ta'abdim, two-stepped. Rabbanan, what do they do this from this for this pasuk? Says the Gemara, Rabbanan use this pasuk. Haimi boyle, they need this pasuk to teach us. Lo'oika avodas kachavim, that somebody who's eradicating avodas kachavim should sorach l'sharish achreah. He has to completely uproot avodas zarah, completely rip out its roots. That's considered uprooted. Then and only then has he been considered successful. So I saw a beautiful vart. Mefarshim asked, we know that as we go through the Yom Noron, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Shimei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah, people have a Cyrus. People come to great madrigas and they decide, and they truly, sincerely mean this, that they're going to do the right thing this year. They're going to daven properly. They're going to learn. They're going to do mitzvahs. Yet we see that these very people who had such very lofty and sincere intents, as the year goes on, don't follow through. Why not? So he explains that just like we find b'midorot here, that if you want to eradicate an avodah zarah, you have to l'sharish achreah, you have to completely eradicate that avodah zarah, because if you don't completely eradicate that avodah zarah, it's not considered that you've done what you're supposed to do. The same thing is by midah tovah. Your acceptance, your kabbalah, has to be truly, truly sincere, and anything less will not be considered, will not be effective to put you on the right track. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak Behuda, l'sharish achreah menolei, where will he know this then, that avodah zarah has to be completely uprooted? Nafkalei mi'avadta mishmoim menamokamahu. And Amokamahu comes to teach us complete obliteration. Rabbanan, what will they do this pasuk? Hu l'chan Hashem. It comes to teach us to coin a name. The Tanya, Rabbi Lez Oimrim, Menayin l'oikar avodas kachavim shetzorach l'shar shachreo, that you have to completely uproot it. Tamaloimer v'avadatem eshmom. Amla rekiva v'loi kva nemar abba ta'abdun. Imma kei ma tamaloimer v'avadatem Ashmam Menamak Mahu Lechanas L'Shem, to give it a name, to coin, to give it a bad name. Yochel Shavach, I would think that you should give it a complimentary name. And the Mefarshim asked the obvious question, what is the Havamina that we should give an Avodah Zarah a complimentary name? So the Mefarshim explained that we would think that perhaps only where the Avodah Zarah has a nice name do we have to give it a derogatory name. But if the Avodah Zarah already has a derogatory name, the best example I could think of is Pa'or. There we don't have to give it a different name. That we could give it a name that's neither complimentary nor derogatory. Tamloimer, Shakitz to Shakitzena, Vesav to Sasavena, Kicherimhu. You have to completely cause a disgrace. Hakated, Hakarinoi so base Galia, if it was called a Galia, which means a high thing, Karinoi base Karia, which means a ditch. And Koil, that everybody looks at it, and Koitz should be called a thorn. Interesting to note that this halacha, the Tor, the Taz, quotes the Mashal that says that this halacha of eradicating Avodah Zarah and giving it a shame gnai only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And the Taz and many other Mefarshim have a very difficult time understanding the Mashal, Prisha quoting this Mashal. They have a hard time understanding the Mashal. Why does this then apply only in Eretz Yisrael and not Chutz Laaretz? Some disagree, and they say that it applies both in Chutz Laaretz and Eretz Yisrael. Others say that the din of eradication only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Others say that the din of L'chanas L'shem only implies in Eretz Yisrael. Again, as the Miri explains, the purpose of doing this is to completely distance ourselves from Avodah Zarah, and by being Mechanedesh Hashem, by giving it this derogatory name, we will accomplish that we will be distanced from the Avodah Zarah. Clearly, the Pesukim say, based on our Gemara, we see that the halacha is that one should not in any way give honor to Avodah Zarah and give it a name of Cheshivas. The Pesukim say that this is the basis for the halacha. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin actually quotes this halacha on Daf Samach Gimel. The one is now allowed to use the name of Avodah Zarah as a landmark. That means, let's say I'm supposed to meet my friend and I want to say I'll meet you in this and this place. I shouldn't say I'll meet you in front of a base of Avodah Zarah. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that if somebody mentions the name of Avodah Zarah as part of his learning of Torah, then it's mutter. That's the opinion of the Meiri. Taisus seems to disagree, and Taisus says that all the names of Avodah Zarah that have been quoted in our Gemaras, the Mishnah's Gemaras we learned, are really names that were changed to a derogatory name. One of the examples is Makolis, which is a revision of the name of Avodah Zarah of derogatory. However, I did see a very interesting psak from the Minchas Alozer and the Seif in Mukei Or Chaim. He says that if you walk by, particularly let's say a cemetery, where the halacha is that a certain bracha should be said by walking by the cemetery of the Akum, he said that's only if there are no religious marks on those graves. But if there are religious marks on those graves, he says stopping and saying a tefillah can be construed that one is showing respect to those religious marks, which clearly our Gemara says we're not allowed to do, and therefore when walking next to such a cemetery, the best thing is to just walk and not say any tefillah or any bracha. I saw a very nice pshat. Why is the Torah so concerned for the total obliteration of any Avodah Zarah? They explain that even if a place was used for an Avera, but if that place causes the people to do tshuva, that place actually ends up being the cause of a Kiddush Hashem, because people did tshuva, did Maisim Toivim. That means if you see a place that was originally a place where people did Averis and it was destroyed, people realizing that it was destroyed because it was a place of Avera will cause people to do tshuva. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, The Torah did not want that Avodah Zarah should get any credit. And by and how did the Torah accomplish it? By saying it should be completely obliterated. The name should not be mentioned. They should never be in any way the cause for any Kiddush Hashem or any observance of mitzvahs.